Now comedian George Carlin on the fine art of creating laughter.
People always want to know how you get started on this job. I guess they ask musicians too. Class clown is when you really do get a chance to kind of work out, you know. Because a classroom is the best place. Classroom's best because, well, no one's allowed to laugh there. And suppressed laughter, you know, is the easiest to get, the most fun. You know, like when you're kneeling in front of a casket.
Laughter may be the best medicine, but what happens when a doctor decides to examine laughter itself? Dr. Robert Provine is a neurobiologist in the Department of Psychology and Neuroscience at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. His new book is called Laughter, A Scientific Investigation. Our conversation began with his definition of laughter.
Well, laughter is a series of short vowel-like sounds that last about a 15th of a second that repeat every fifth of a second.
Now, you're laughing simply because I asked you to define it. So how are you making yourself laugh? Because I really didn't say anything funny.
Well, actually, laughing on command is a rather difficult skill that some actors have. In fact, most people can't do it effectively, and it's very easy to tell a fake laugh. How's your laugh? Can you laugh voluntarily for me?
Not really. I have more to what you call laugh speak in the middle of a conversation, like maybe to ingratiate myself to you. I might, you know, do a little chuckle.
Yeah. Most work that says it's about laughter is really about explanations of laughing at jokes. You know, why do we laugh at jokes? But when we look at everyday laughter, we find that most laughter is not about jokes.
Humans laugh when they tickle one another. Why can't we tickle ourselves?
As you suggested, the most important thing to know about tickle is that we can't tickle ourselves. Because tickle is a response to something stimulating the surface of our body that is not us. Thus, you can't stimulate yourself. In fact, think what life would be like if you were constantly stimulating yourself every time you brushed against something or you touched yourself. Now, the world would be full of goosey people lurching their way through life. Our nervous system cancels out stimulation that we produce. That's another way of defining a social stimulus.
Why do you call laughter our version of bird song?
Laughter is part of this universal human vocabulary. Everyone speaks this language. Just as birds of a given species all sing their species' typical song, laughter is part of our own human song. That's one of the reasons why we should be very reluctant to intellectualize laughter. A better approach, I believe, is the one that I took, is instead of trying to explain the unexplainable, is to go out and look at laughter of people in public places and describe what they do and when they do it. So when I went out to observe laughing people in public places, I found some very strange things. For example, one of the first things that I found going out to look at laughing people is that the person speaking to another person actually laughed more than the person being spoken to. That was a very curious thing. And when I recorded what was said before people laugh, I found something even more curious. Is most laughter does not have to do with jokes.
There are so many different kinds of laughter, though. And you even give an illustration, the movie Goodfellas, with Joe Pesci.
Well, the Goodfellas is one of the most powerful cases in popular culture of the two sides of laughter. One, we have guys sitting around at the table, the Goodfellas.
I know I'm resting. They pull me in, they start giving me all kinds of questions, you know, this and that. He says, oh, so what are you going to tell us, tough guy? I said, my usual, zero, nothing. I tell you, the f-. He says, no, you're going to tell me something today, tough guy. I said, all right, I'll tell you something, your mother. Bing, pow, boom, bing. You saw the paper, Anthony, my head was up like this. So now I'm coming around.
Then you have another case where Joe, in one of the most memorable scenes in the movie, challenges one of his buddies about, are you laughing at me?
What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
I'm not just... You know how you tell a story? What?
No, no, I don't know. You said it. How do I know? You said I'm funny. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
Get the f*** out of here, Tommy.
I almost had him. I almost had him.
He's referring to the power of a form of laughter we call ridicule. So we laugh to bond the membership of people in a group. We also laugh at individuals that are not part of our group, perhaps as a way of helping them to conform or pressuring them to conform.
You did some what you call cracking the laugh code. And one of the things that you did was examine sonic structure in opera scores, Broadway musical scores. You give an example of Sweeney Todd and Angela Lansbury singing about her pies.
Beetle, listen, battle, you smell it, and notice how well it's been greased. Stick to priest. Now, this might be a bit stringy, but then, of course, it's a fiddle player.
No, no, this isn't fiddle player, it's piccolo player.
How can you tell?
It's piping hot.
Then blow on it first.
Well, part of the effort to crack the laugh code is to understand what gives the laughing sound to laughter. Involved the analysis of music scores, which was a rather fun diversion. But the more rigorous approach involved analyzing the actual sounds of laughter.
What happens when you take those out, though? I mean, I had read that you had taken some of the laugh notes themselves from recorded laughter, and you were left with a sigh.
Yes, if you take the ha-ha-ho-ho-hee-hee sounds out of recorded laughter and close the gaps, all that's left is a sigh. So, is the sound of laughter with the notes missing.
Laughing records? I mean, these were records that were made deliberately to get us to laugh?
Now, laughing records were really one of the first attempts to tap in to this contagiousness of laughter. They were sort of the forebearers of the laugh track. And one of the first of these was recorded in the first decades of this century, I think shortly after the First World War in Germany. This recording, known as the OK Laugh Record, remains the most effective laugh record right up to the present time.
You brought someone with you, something with you. Well, it's a sort of a someone. It was a big hit a couple of years ago, probably still is, in the preschool crowd.
Yeah, we'll see if you recognize it.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Yep, that's Tickle Me Elmo.
It was almost a guarantee that Tickle Me Elmo would be a big hit with little kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of science in Elmo. Elmo is a sophisticated version of a laugh box, a device that's been around a long time. I think the laugher in that laugh box is a long-deceased president of this particular toy company.
That one sounds a little sinister. There's a quality to it.
Yeah, when you listen to some of the laugh tracks on some of the old television comedies, you should think about most of the people laughing those audiences are now dead. So think about this vast audience of the laughing, moldering dead. They're the people that are populating those old laugh tracks.
Robert Provine is the author of Laughter, a Scientific Investigation. It's published by Viking. Thanks for coming in and bringing your toys with you.
It was a pleasure being with you.